Hey, good morning. Fritz Bergen, bloodandfaith.com. It's the 17th of January, 2021. It's a new year. It's a new day. We've got a lot of exciting things happening in the United States, a lot of exciting things happening in the world. It's just speeding up. It's not going to slow down. It's not going to stop. The die has been cast. We will see where we end up. But this morning, we are going to continue to cover the book of John, John 15, John 16, John 17, 18, and 19. Talks about some of the last few days of Jesus Christ and his life on earth. And it's going to talk about what he had to say about himself, about his father, about his enemies. And it's absolutely relevant. People talk about theology and religion as if it's this, you know, what kind of ice cream do you want? And I disagree with that. I fundamentally disagree with it. I don't see a difference between politics and religion. At the end of the day, what you believe is borne out in your politics, in your law, in your morality, how you govern your society, how you relate to your fellow man, how you relate to authority, how you relate to everything and everybody. And it all goes back to what you fundamentally believe about the nature of reality. And I've talked about this many times. Everybody has a group of scriptures that they gather their beliefs from. Everybody. For some of y'all, it's The Economist magazine. All right? It's foreignpolicy.com. It's your evolutionary biology books that your prophets and priests of your cult taught you at the university. So the idea that you don't have a set of scriptures that you repair to is false. It's demonstrably false. You're in a cult. You're in a religion. I serve a king named Jesus Christ. I have my set of scriptures that I repair to. You all have yours. You come through 4 years of the university, you've been taught and tutored in a worldview, in a religion. They don't call it a religion. It's part of the religion not to call it a religion, but it's a worldview and a religion and a faith nevertheless. And from that belief system emerges your morality, your politics, and how you relate to your fellow man. Same thing. And things are so messed up that we've got to go back to the foundations. You got to go back to philosophy and start dealing with this stuff. So I am going to start going through these scriptures little by little. And if you understand what I'm saying, I think it'll make a difference, especially to the Christians. I think the Christians have been the biggest people hoodwinked into thinking that their religion is just, you know, the flavor of ice cream that they prefer. And as a result, they keep it private. They keep it you know, segregated, ghettoized. It's a process of ghettoization. You take these ideas, you jam them into some irrelevant corner, and you're told that you can't let them have anything to do with the rest of real life. And I dispute that, and Jesus Christ disputes that. And that's where we get to the story. John chapter 15, verse number 8. Jesus Christ says, "My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and prove to be my disciples." 15 verse 20, "A slave is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you." So Jesus Christ telling his followers, Christians, "A slave is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you." John 15, verse 23, "He who hates me hates my Father also." You cannot come out and say, "Well, they just don't believe in Jesus, but they love God." The Bible says it right here. "He who hates me hates my Father also." The Jews hated Jesus Christ. They murdered him. We covered that last time we got together. They conspired to murder him. They conspired against him to destroy him, to seize him, to murder him. And people were afraid to associate with Jesus Christ because they're going to get depersoned. They're going to, and back in that day, it was you got kicked out of the synagogue and you could have no commercial, economic, financial, social, or personal relationships with anybody else in the community. Got the same process today. Jesus Christ says, "He who hates me hates my Father also." That's a pretty exclusive claim. You cannot mistake Jesus Christ for a man who is like you, or is like me, or he's a reasonable man. John chapter 16, verses 1 and 3. These things I have spoken to you, he's talking to his disciples, so that you may be kept from stumbling. They will make you outcast from the synagogue. They're going to kick you. They're going to depersonize you. They will make you outcast from the synagogue, but an hour is coming for everyone who kills you to think that he is offering a service to God. And boy, you certainly see that beginnings of that in the United States. The anti-white and anti-Christian rhetoric is at a fever pitch. And people truly think they're doing a service to their secular God by destroying us. They've been very open about it. There's an executive with National Public Radio said that we need to take away our kids and send them to re-education camps. This is the same rhetoric that they had in Germany, 1930s, same rhetoric and activities that came out of the Soviet Union. Then hour is coming when everyone who kills you will think he is offering a service to God. These things they will do because they have known neither me nor the Father. Don't tell me they serve God. They do not serve God. They have known neither me nor the Father. Here's Jesus Christ. Now tell me this guy's a normal man. John 16, verse 15. All things that the Father has are mine. Imagine that. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore I said that he takes of mine and will disclose it to you. The Holy Spirit will take of what is of Jesus Christ and disclose it to the world. That is not a normal man's talking. That's God in the flesh. That's the Son of God. That's the Messiah. John 16, verse 27. For the Father himself loves you because you have loved me. Why does God love the Christian? It's right here. Because you have loved me. That's it. If you reject the Son, you reject the Father. The Father himself loves you because you have loved me and have believed that I came forth from the Father. It's real simple. It's real simple, guys. It's real simple. Jesus Christ came forth from the Father. If you accept the Son as the Son of God, as God in the flesh, as one with the Father, you accept God. If you reject that, you reject God. This is the gospel of Jesus Christ. This is the good news. It's very simple. Repent of your unbelief. Repent. Humble yourself intellectually. Declare that Jesus Christ is Lord. Believe in your heart that he rose from the dead. And you will have the love of the Father. John 16, verse 28. I have come forth from the Father, and I have come into the world. I am leaving the world again, and I'm going back to the Father. Wow, man, he came from the Father, he came into the world, and he's going back to the Father. Who can say that? No man can say that. This is not just another guy. Nobody can say this. John 16, verse 33. In the world, you will have tribulation. In the world, you will have tribulation, but take courage. I have overcome the world. Rebel Leader 1 right now. Take courage. I have overcome the world. John 17, verse 2, Jesus Christ is talking to his Father, and he talks about how God has given him authority over all flesh. Jesus Christ was talking to his God, talking to his Father, and he acknowledged that you gave him, Jesus Christ, authority over all flesh. Jesus Christ has authority over all flesh. I don't care if you're African. I don't care if you're Chinese. I don't care if you're Arab. I don't care if you're European. I don't care if you think you're a native of someplace. Jesus Christ has authority over all flesh. All flesh. The question is, who will believe him and who will believe in him? John 17, verse 3. This is the eternal life. God, this is so beautiful. This is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Eternal life is bound up in the identity of Jesus Christ as one with the Father, as the Christ. This is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, the only true God, the only true God. There are not many ways to God. And Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Now, Father, glorify me together. glorify me together with yourself. Listen to this. Glorify me together with yourself with the glory which I had with you before the world existed. So Jesus Christ is talking to his Father in front of his disciples, saying this prayer. And he says, God Almighty, glorify yourself with the glory. No. Take that back. Glorify me together with yourself. He didn't say, God, glorify thyself. He said, now, Father, glorify me together with yourself, with the glory which I had with you before the world existed. That is not a normal man. That's God in the flesh. That is God Almighty in the flesh. Jesus Christ is Emmanuel, God with us. He and the Father are one. Here he is praying. And if you've been listening to me, this is an inescapable conclusion as you read through the Gospel of St. John. It is absolutely inescapable. It's over and over and over and over. This is not a one-off scripture. This is eternal life that you, John chapter 17, verse 5. Now, Father, glorify me. Imagine that. Imagine me saying to God, God, glorify me. No, but Jesus Christ can say that. Jesus Christ can say that. Now, Father, glorify me together with yourself, with the glory which I had with you before the world even existed. All right? Jesus Christ, the creator of all that was created. Jesus Christ is the creator of all that was created. 17, verse 9. I ask on their behalf. On whose behalf? The people that follow and believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I do not ask on behalf of the world, but those whom you have given to me, for they are yours. And all things that are mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I have been glorified with them. So when Jesus Christ asked God to protect people, he did not ask that on behalf of the world. He says, I ask on their behalf. Who? Those who believe that Jesus was the Christ. I do not ask on behalf of the world, but on those whom you have given me, for they are yours. And all things that are mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I have been glorified in them. We are not all one, people, Christian. We are not all one. We are not all of one bloodline. And I've said this before, and I will say it again and again and again. You are either of the bloodline of Jesus Christ, or you're not. You either believe that Jesus is the Christ, God in the flesh, or you don't. And on that judgment day, Jesus Christ will take those who are his and bring him with him into paradise, eternal life. Those that cling to the dead corpse of the sin nature do not have his bloodline, and they're not going to have eternal life. He prayed this in John 17. Holy Father, keep them in your name, the name which you have given to me. Holy Father, this is Jesus Christ, keep them in your name, the name which you have given to me. What was the name? Jesus. Jesus Christ. Jesus. What was the name that God gave to Jesus? It was Jesus. Yeshua. It was Jesus. Keep them in your name, the name which you gave to me. How can God's name be the same name as Jesus? This is what it says. Again, you cannot claim that Jesus Christ was just some dude like the Pope tries to do. That's what the Pope tries to do because he wants to keep Jesus Christ acceptable to the Antichrist. So he dumbs him down and makes him just another dude. Listen to this. Jesus Christ praying to the Holy Father. Keep them in your name, praying for his disciples. Keep them in your name, the name which you gave to me. Same name, same name, same name. John 17, 14. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. All right, you're either of the world or you're of Jesus Christ. I do not ask you to take them out of the world, but to keep them from the evil one. This is an interesting scripture, John 17, verse 15. He's praying to God. He says, God, I don't ask that you take them out of the world, but to keep them from the evil one. In my generation, there's a lot of talk about this rapture, how before things get bad, everybody's going to get raptured out of the world. You know, here you go. This is kind of where I'm coming from. Jesus Christ says to the Father, I do not ask that you take them out of the world. All right, before bad things come. And I look at the example of Noah. God destroyed the entire earth except for those that were on the ark. God didn't take him out of the world. He made him go through it under his protection. So when people say, well, before the bad things come, we're going to get raptured out of here, I'm not seeing that in the examples, and I'm not seeing that in the words of Jesus Christ. All right, with all the Hebrew slaves in Egypt, God didn't take them. God didn't say you're not going to have 400 and some years of slavery. They were slaves for 400 and some years, and when they left, they had 40 years in the desert. They had to go through the Red Sea. They had to fight. They had to fight, and they suffered. All right, I don't see God, you know, whisking them up into heaven for 40 years and giving them grapes and sweet wine, and then saying, okay, now go into the promised land. I've taken care of all your enemies. I see a lot of suffering in this life for the Christian. I don't ask that you take them out of the world, but to keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them in the truth. Thy word is truth. If you have sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. All right, another example, John 17, verse 18. Just as you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. How? Just as you sent me into the world. Did Jesus Christ escape from all the sufferings and trials? No. They murdered him. They killed him. All right, is the slave above the master? If they call the master Beelzebul, why do you think it's going to be any better for the Christian? If they killed the master, why do you expect to get anything better? Are you really better than the master? Is the slave above the master? Why do you think you should have it better and easier than Jesus Christ had it? Why? Have you never read Hebrews chapter 11, how they were sawn in two? What is it that you think that somehow it's going to be better for you? Why do you think it should be better for you? John 17, verse 24. Father, I desire that they also, whom you have given me, be with me, so that they may see my glory, which you have given to me, for you loved me before the foundation of the world. All right? This is God in the flesh. You loved me before the world was even created, before the foundation of the world. If you love God, you will love Jesus Christ. If you reject Jesus Christ, you reject God. All right, Jesus before Pilate. Jesus, his time is rapidly coming to an end. And he is before Pilate. He had already been to Caiaphas. So they arrest him. There's always traitors. There's always traitors. Do not think that there won't be traitors in your life. There's always traitors. King David had his traitors, those closest to him. And Judas, one of his 12 closest people, betrayed him. He just said, you know what? I don't believe. And he loved the world. He says, you know what? I'm going to get, you know, Jesus is a kook. And he justified it. You always justify it. You always justify your betrayals. And he went out for his, he was a thief. He used to steal money out of the money box. He got what was good for him. And then because you do the little evils, the big evil is just, it's the same thing. It's just on a bigger scale. And so he knew that the Jews were looking for him. He knew that the word was out. See something, say something. They had the same thing 2,000 years ago. See something, say something. Rat out your neighbor. Tell the authorities. We want to know where Jesus is. He's a troublemaker. He's a radical. He's a radical extremist. It's the same thing, guys. Jesus Christ dealt with the totalitarians 2,000 years ago. It's the same thing. Go read the Gospel of St. John. This isn't new. We don't have to relearn this stuff. It's all here. So you had betrayal. You had traitors. You had neighbor ratting out neighbors. Go tell the authorities. So after the Jews denounced him, the self-righteous Jews they thought they were so holy they'd have somebody else do the dirty work. So they take him over to Pilate. And when they had led Jesus from Caiaphas, the high priest, into the praetorium, and it was very early, and they themselves did not enter into the praetorium so that they might eat the Passover, holier than thou, taking an innocent man, betraying him, and going to murder him. But they're so sanctified and so holy and so self-righteous that they're not willing to go into the place where these darn Europeans were. All right, Pontius Pilate. Therefore, this is verse 18, verse 29. Therefore, Pilate went out to them and said, "What accusation do you bring against this man?" Pilate had no beef with him, had none whatsoever. He didn't say, "Oh, we finally have you, Jesus. Thank God. Let's deal with you." He went to the Jews. He says, Why is he here? What accusation against this man?" They answered him and they said to him, "If this man were not an evildoer, we would not have delivered from you." The mere accusation to these Jews was evidence that all the evidence they needed. How dare you question us, Pilate? We've accused him of doing the wrong things, and you need to deal with him. Pilate said, "Take them to yourselves. Judge him according to your law." Pilate said, "Take him yourself. Judge him according." Pilate saw nothing wrong with him. The Romans saw nothing wrong in Jesus Christ. They didn't want to get rid of Jesus Christ. They didn't want to murder Jesus Christ. They did not betray Jesus Christ. Judas betrayed Jesus Christ. So here's the self-righteous, holier-than-thou Jews saying, "Oh, well, we're not permitted to put anyone to death." So they're not permitted to put anyone to death, but they can get the Romans to put him to death? What kind of twisted thinking is that? But that's what we deal with. And that's how you deal with it. The totalitarians are the same way. They're going to have some way to justify your blood. They'll find a way to justify their blood, and they'll come one way or another to eliminate you. This is what they do. Okay, it's not just totalitarians weren't just invented under the Soviet Union, Lenin and Stalin or Mao or Pol Pot or Castro. The spirit goes back a long, long time. Pilate's talking to Jesus, and he says to him, he says, "Look," he says, "I'm not a Jew, am I? Your own nation and the chief priest delivered you to me." He says, "Jesus, look, I'm not your people. I'm not of you. I'm a different ethnic group. I'm not a Jew, but it's your own people that turned you over to me. What have you done?" The conversation goes on. And Pilate asks him, "So you're a king. Is that right, Jesus?" Jesus says, "Yes, you say correctly that I am a king." Yes, you say correctly that I am a king. Here's Jesus Christ. Pope Francis the Apostate wants to make him a little naked man, a harmless naked man on a tree. Jesus Christ says, "Yes, you say correctly that I am a king. And for this that I have been born, and for this I have come into the world. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice." What an exclusive claim. Everyone who hears my voice, everyone who is of the truth hears my voice. If you're not hearing the voice of Jesus Christ, you're not of truth. And then the classic phrase, Pilate says to him, "What is truth?" The truth is Jesus Christ. This is why I go back to this. You want to know what the truth is? You got to get to the scriptures. You want to get rid of the darkness? You got to go to the scriptures. Jesus Christ is called the Word of God. The Word of God. And heaven and earth will pass away, but these scriptures will not pass away. They will be here for eternity. So Pilate says, what is truth? Well, Pilate's looking at truth. He's looking at Jesus Christ. He's looking at Jesus Christ. And he says, "What is truth?" Truth was sitting right in front of him. So if we're going to solve the problems in the United States, it's not going to come by resorting to a different set of literature to figure out what the answer is. You've got to go to the truth. The truth is Jesus Christ, who is a king. He is the king, and his word is truth. You can't slice this sideways. You've got to go right down through the heart of this issue, and you've got to purge the darkness with the truth. This is why it starts with the scriptures. And when he had said this, he went out again to the Jews. So the Pilate said, what is truth? Of course, he's looking at truth. And he goes out to the Jews. It says, and when he had said this, he went out to the Jews and said to them, I find no guilt in him. There you go. There it is again. Pontius Pilate, the Roman, said, I find no guilt in him. Do you then wish that I release for you the king of the Jews? Of course, he didn't want that. John 19, verse 4. Pilate came out again and said to them, behold, I bring him out to you so that you may know that I find no guilt in him. Over and over and over, the Romans, Pontius Pilate says, I find no guilt in him. How many times is that now? It's four times already in this, you know, one chapter. Pilate came out and said to him again, behold, I bring him out so that you may know that I found no guilt in him. And he says, behold the man. He says, behold the man. Wow, what a moment in history. When the chief priests and the officers, the entire leadership of the Jews, saw him, they cried out, saying, crucify, crucify. Betrayal. Betrayal by Judas and the entire nation of the Jews, with some exceptions. Many of the Jews believed and were saved. But the nation as a whole cried out, crucify him, crucify him. Pilate said, take him yourselves and crucify him, for I find no guilt in him. Again, over and over, Pilate says, I find no guilt in him. So when people want to know who is responsible for the just of death of Jesus Christ, you're not going to find it in Pontius Pilate. John 19, verse 7, the Jews answered him, he said, we have a law, and by that law he ought to die because he made himself to be the Son of God. We have a law, and by that law he ought to die because he made himself to be the Son of God. So if anybody ever comes to you and says Jesus never claimed to be the Son of God, they've been deceived, they haven't read the scriptures, they don't know what they're talking about, or they're just flat-out liars. Even the Jews said that Jesus Christ made himself out to be the Son of God. Even the Jews testified. Jesus testified to this. I and the Father are one. If you reject me, you reject the Father. The Jews knew this, knew exactly what he was saying. The Jews said, our law says that he ought to die because he made himself out to be the Son of God. Therefore, when Pilate heard this, he was even more afraid. Pilate was terrified. This clearly was not a normal person, clearly not a normal human being. Pilate saw this straight up front. He wanted nothing to do with the murder of this man. And over and over and over, he tried to give it back to the Jews. And so he goes back and he interrogates Jesus some more. And again, he says to Jesus, where are you from? Who are you? Where are you from? What's going on here? Jesus refused to answer him. So Pilate says to Jesus Christ, you refuse to answer me? Don't you know I have the authority to release you and I have the authority to crucify you? Jesus answered him. He said, you would have no authority over me unless it had been given to you from above. For this reason, he who delivered me to you has the greater sin. So even Jesus Christ said that the person who delivered him over to Pilate had the greater sin. Judas, vastly more guilty than Pontius Pilate. Jesus Christ said so. Jesus Christ said so. 19, verse 12. As a result of this, Pilate made efforts to release him. Again, Pilate made efforts to release him. Pilate didn't want to touch this. But the Jews cried out. The Jews cried out, saying, if you release this man, you are no friend of Caesar. Everyone who makes himself a king opposes Caesar. So they're going to blackmail Pontius Pilate, and they're going to accuse him. And the Jews had friends in Rome. The Jews had friends in front of Caesar. And they says, if you're going to let him go, we are going to report you to Caesar as undermining his authority, as being against Caesar. Put Pontius Pilate in a really difficult, the price of undermining Caesar is always going to be death, especially for his officers. The Jews cried out, if you release this man, you're no friend of Caesar's. Everyone who makes himself a king opposes Caesar. Jesus Christ made himself king. Jesus Christ makes himself a king. Pontius Pilate says to Jesus Christ, are you a king? Jesus Christ says, yes, I am a king. For this reason, I've come into the world. Jesus says, hey, if you make yourself a king, you oppose Caesar. Yes, 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 yes. Yes, yes, yes. Absolutely right. Jesus Christ is a king. And that puts him above the Caesars of the world. That puts him above Caesar. It puts him above any man-made government. I don't care what government you're in or what country you're in. Jesus Christ is the king of every nation and every bloodline. And he is above your Caesar. He's above your government. And the Jews understood very clearly what this meant. This was a fundamental political decision, a political play that was going on. Jesus Christ claimed to be a king. He claimed to be equal with God. He claimed to be one with God. He said, everything the Father has is mine. And everything that I have is my Father's. He says, Father, glorify me. Glorify me with you with the same glory I had before the world even existed. For this reason, I have been born because I am a king. And the Jews rejected this king. And they said, if you recognize him as king, you oppose Caesar. And at that point, Pilate folds. Jesus never denied that he was a king. He never denied that he was a ruler. He made himself one with God Almighty. John 19, verse 14. Pilate says, behold thy king. Behold your king. And so they cried out, who? The nation of the Jews. And they were all there, the chief priests, the Pharisees, the officers of the Jews, the Jewish people, from high to low, they were all there. And they cried out, and they said to him, away with him, crucify him. Pilate again said, shall I crucify your king? And the chief priest answers, we have no king but Caesar. The chief priests of Judaism says, we have no king but Caesar. Do not tell me, let's not even go there right now. They have no king but Caesar, and they rejected their very own king. And so they crucify him. So as we solve this political situation in the United States and in every country around the world, every country is going to have to battle this. And as a student of history, I realized that borders are fluid. That which was won't be in 20 years. That which was 20, 30 years ago is different today around the world as far as borders go. But every nation, every bloodline, every ethnic group is going to have to determine whether or not they serve Jesus Christ or Caesar. This isn't easy. This is not an easy choice. This is a fundamental choice of your identity and who you are. Is Jesus Christ Lord? Is Jesus Christ King? Or are you going to double down on your own little thing and say, nope, anyone who makes himself a king is an enemy of Caesar? Up to you, man. Your call. Do what you need to do. Jesus Christ doesn't deny who he is. If he did, he'd be a liar like everybody else. Jesus Christ claimed to be one with God. He says, I am a king. For this reason, I came into the world. And the Jews sided with the world. They became the embodiment of the world. They became the embodiment of rejection of God Almighty. Judaism is the embodiment of rejection of all that God had provided to them. And you'll see that, you know, we've talked about that. They had the law, they had the prophets, but they were the murderers of all the prophets. And they rejected their king when he appeared. And we're going to close with this. So they crucify Jesus Christ, and they're going to go to bury him. And there's a couple different people. There's Joseph of Arimathea, and there's Nicodemus. And these two men believed in Jesus Christ, but they are terrified of being depersoned. They are terrified of being demonetized. They were terrified of being deplatformed in their society. Joseph of Arimathea, 19, verse 38, being a disciple of Jesus, but a secret one for fear of the Jews. And then we have Nicodemus, who was the first to come to him by night. They were terrified. They lived in a totalitarian world where you had the social justice warriors running everything. And by their mere accusation, they could destroy a man and destroy his reputation, destroy his economy, destroy his life. And we've come full circle. That's what we've got in the United States of America. I won't go over all the people that have been kicked out of the synagogue, deplatformed, demonetized, lose their jobs, fired. One rule for them, different rule for other people. And this isn't going to be dealt with unless we can get to the heart of the truth. And the truth is in the Holy Scriptures, and our King is Jesus Christ. No apologies, no apologies. We will build Christian nations with whatever nation slash bloodline wants to build a Christian nation. And we will not apologize that Jesus Christ will be King. He will be King. He may not be here on earth, but he will be our King. Fritz Berggren, bloodandfaith.com. 17 January 2021.